Hey, chiropractors, welcome to Modern Chiropractic Mastery with your host, Dr. Kevin Christie, where we discuss the latest in marketing, business, and professional growth with some of the leading experts in the industry. Welcome to another episode of Modern Chiropractic Mastery. Today, I'm excited to bring you Jason Infinger. I had come across his work from one of our colleagues when I had posted in a Facebook group because I've been in this search to really reduce as much friction as we possibly can for the patient experience. And I was referred to Jason. And when we got on a phone before the podcast to kind of work through what we wanted to dive into, we realized we really needed to start with the practice and the doctor and the owner of the practice and get a lot of that stuff efficient before we can even really think about having kind of a friction-free patient experience. And so we wanted to dive into that. Jason is a business advisor and serial entrepreneur who's helped healthcare founders scale from solo chaos to streamlined teams. He specializes in AI integration, business efficiency, and building companies with long-term enterprise value. He's also the founder of Parenting Autism and a dad of a child on the spectrum. And I want to go back to the aspect of him, you know, with the AI integration, business efficiency, and building companies with long-term enterprise value. And that's what we really dive into today. And that business efficiency is the core component of our conversation. And we dive into that. It's a wealth of knowledge. And no matter what stage you're at in your practice or your future practice, you really need to start considering these things so that you have a practice that is efficient, even if it's just so you don't have so many damn headaches every day like so many chiropractors do. But ultimately, if you do this type of work, you'll see the benefit of it. You'll be more profitable. You'll have a business that scales, even if you just want to scale one practice. So many of you think scaling means having multiple locations, and that could be. But within a chiropractic practice, so many run up against these barriers to growth, and they have not built a practice that can scale. So we dive into some of that today. Before we do, I wanted to give a little shout out to a friend and colleague of ours, Alex Wasserman. He's developed something. He used to work with me, and I know his talents in technology. He's been pretty impressive. He did a lot of work with us when he was a doctor here. But many of you that are Jane App practice management users and use Office Allies for the claims clearinghouse, there's kind of been a disconnect between the two. Alex has developed something called Claims App, and you can go to claimsapp.app. So that's claimsapp.app. And it's basically an interface, right? So it's a service and browser extension that'll integrate your Jane App software and the Office Ally Claims Clearinghouse. So now you can just upload the claims and download the remittance files between Jane App and Office Ally with a single click, instead of how you've had to do it now. So check that out at claimzap.app. I don't have any affiliation with it, but I've always liked and appreciate his work. And he had told me about this. And I know a lot of Jane App users with Office Ally, this could really help you out. So check that out. All right. Without further ado, here is my interview with Jason Infinger. All right. I got Jason Infinger on the podcast today and excited to dive into a few things. Efficiency is going to be a big part of it. And I think a lot of chiropractic practice struggle with this. Obviously, businesses in general do. And oftentimes we have a vision of what we want to provide for our patients. But if we can't get this part right of what we're going to talk about today, it's really hard to accomplish that. So before we dive into it, Jason, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you got going on.
Yep, you got it. Well, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it today, Kevin. So, you know, for me, I've been a serial entrepreneur since I was 16. So I had a few businesses on that side. And for me, it's led me to the path of really helping in the advisory role. And a lot of people, you know, reaching out after a few businesses and things did well and, you know, answering questions. And I just kind of formalized it over the years as things kind of kept growing, which was great. And it was really fulfilling for me on that side. And then, you know, my passion really is healthcare. And one of the things my youngest son was diagnosed with autism. So that even dove me further into the healthcare part of things. And so I primarily work with with the healthcare industry as a whole. So the Kairos, Funk Med, that kind of thing too. So really enjoy and get a lot of fulfillment out of that side.
Yeah. Do you see anything different between the chiropractic and the functional medicine, or is it very similar in the same issues that we're all dealing with from a business standpoint?
Yeah, it's very similar, you know, patient experience, all that kind of good stuff. And I had the fortune of working with a physician and scaling his practice to 27. So we just formalized the plan and just kind of kept growing, right? Kept going with it. So
yep. Nice. I'm sure they run into similar issues that we do.
Yes, for sure.
But let's start right out of the gates, because we're going to dive into a handful of things. But what are the key signs that you see in a chiropractic practice that's just not running efficiently?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think that the fact how much time the actual founder and practitioner is actually in the business in terms of in the weeds, so to speak, and working in the business and not on it as much, I think that's always a interesting telltale sign. And also, you know, how you manage your time as a clinician. I think that there's a great book called E-Myth that handles this. And a lot of physicians that I meet are they're undergoing what's called entrepreneurial seizure, right? They're just so overwhelmed with things, and they're, you know, they're an amazing clinician, but on the other side, now they've taken on this other hat of, okay, now I got to run a business and figure out how to, you know, bring patients in and how to service in the right way, all those kind of good things. So for me, I can tell almost by the tone of the voice from the clinician when I talk to them about kind of where they're at in their journey, right? If they're 1 to 3 years or 5 to 8. And a lot of times the businesses will break certain revenue places, because certain clinicians can get to a certain place in revenue and then things start to break down. So what got them to 1 million doesn't get them to 2 or 3 and so on.
Yeah. Do you find also sometimes with the mindset, they don't trust other people in the practice, like hiring an associates or team members? They don't want the headaches of it because they're so busy treating patients, and you get some of the limiting factors like that. Do you run into that often?
Yeah, quite a bit. I think there's a great difference between having a growth mindset, both as a clinician and as a business owner, right? Versus a fixed, right? Mm-hmm. Because you feel like you know kind of how things go. But once you get past 1 million in revenue and so on, there are certain things that you have to get really good at. And one of them is talent acquisition, right? Yeah. You have to get good at spotting great people and surrounding yourself with amazing people. And I know it sounds easy, but it's a really hard thing to do personally. And it's a hard thing to do in your business, is to surround yourself with amazing people on that side.
Yeah. And I was having a conversation with a colleague of mine who doesn't treat patients now. He owns 4 or 5 locations. And he was just saying how, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, he stopped treating patients. He's like, I don't know how chiropractors do it, where treat patients and also try to run the business. Obviously he's got some big goals and multiple locations. And, you know, it just got me thinking, because we're in that unique situation where, you know, as an entrepreneur, we also are a professional, and we have to do our talented thing that we have. It's not like we just own a set of, you know, Wendy's restaurants and can just, you know, be an entrepreneur like that. We actually have to cook the hamburgers and the French fries and do all that. And it can be tricky. What are a couple of things that you recommend for the doc that, you know, still has to treat patients? So let's talk with that person right now. They still have to treat patients, but they've made the decision. They want to actually grow this business. They want to work on the business. What are a few things that you tell them to try to have some boundaries around that?
Absolutely. I think there are 3 things that I want to kind of cover real quick, because I think it really deals with the beginning and the middle and the end of kind of where we're going today. And one is self-awareness, right? I think you have to be really clear on who you are and having a clear vision. And when I say vision, meaning that a forecast, like where is the industry going, right? Like AI is a big topic right now. Where are things going on that side? So having a clear vision, right? Your North Star, having a mission, which is what you do every day, right? Having a unique value prop, like why you're different, right? Than other clinicians, what that start to look like. And then that goes into your persona. So once you build a foundation around things, you kind of know where you're going. So for me, we're always talking about self-awareness and then self-criticism, you know, knowing what to change and improve, and then self-determination, which is, you know, having the systems and things to actually act on those things. But that does that help in terms of context?
Yeah, it does. Okay. 'Cause I think that's a big part of it, is that it's easy to just say, oh, you know, do this, but you obviously want to get clear on that. And I think you mentioned growth mindset, and obviously great book about that. I don't think chiropractors give themselves enough credit on what they can learn, right? And I always try to tell them, it's like, look, when you left undergrad college and you went into chiropractic school, could you have ever, like, if when you were 22 years old, could you have ever imagined being 32 and owning a good practice, right? Like, you couldn't make that leap. You hoped and dreamed about it, and maybe you had a vision of that, but you had no idea how to do it. But you were receptive, you were a blank canvas, and you really learned over those course of years to do it, and use it as a evidence that you took on something really challenging and hard before, and that you could take on something hard and challenging again. And it may look differently now. Like, maybe you are just in the weeds as a clinician, but you want to take that next step and get out of the weeds and build a very thriving business that is ultimately sellable. And I think that's something that chiropractors have to realize, is that they can do this. They may need guidance, they may need help doing it, but they can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. The foundational piece. And if you don't mind, I'll make a book recommend. So yep. I think as a clinician, you reach a certain place and you should start spending your time on how you buy back your time. And so there's a great book by Dan Martell, who is amazing about whatever stage you're at as a clinician on how you start buying back your time. Right. Yeah. Because to be a leader in the industry, you have to get out of the weeds. Right. And for some clinicians, I have this conversation a lot in terms of like, what's your perfect week? What does that even look like for you? Like, how much time do you want to spend with patients? How much on the business? Like, what are your impact measurements? Right. You got into this for a reason, to make an impact in people's lives. And people reach a certain threshold and they go, okay, is this as good as it gets? Right. I'm wearing all these hats. I'm doing all these things. This is not what I thought it was going to be. So that's when you have to start looking at how you buy back your time.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's almost like having a little bit of delayed gratification too, where, yeah, you know, if you end up with X amount more profit per quarter because you're doing some things right, and you know, you could go buy the new car, but maybe you actually use that money and reinvest it into buying your time. And again, that could probably be with investment in automations or software or in people, to then be able to take that next step. Is that something that you kind of work through with people, is like the financials of this vision as well?
Yeah, you have to have and a lot of founders don't like to talk about numbers, right? But you know, most founders operate from lagging numbers. They look at what they did in the past, but they have no foresight and forecast in terms of like where they're going, right? And having a clear vision on that first side is one thing, but then attaching numbers to what that looks like. For example, how many patients do I need this year to hit X, right? What does that start to look like? And it's just a funny thing, when you start paying attention to it, it naturally starts to happen, right? When you don't have that, you're just in this whole, you know, process, and it kind of, you know, you replay the same day over and over and over again, right? You keep doing the same thing, right? And expect a different result.
You do. And, you know, I'm kind of in a little bit of a transition in our practice, where we've got a good big space. We've got a big open rehab area. And for the last 7 years, we've rented it out to a physical therapy group, and it's been good, pay good rent, really helps. I own the space, so it helps with the mortgage and all that. And it's been nice and great symbiotic relationship, but they've outgrown the space. And then at the end of the year, they're going to move into their own, which is awesome for them. And we're going to just take over the space ourselves. And I kind of started to realize, you know what, that probably was a growth block, a capacity block, having the space being shared. And now it opens us up to a lot of opportunities that I wasn't thinking about last year. So I'm excited about that. There's always a little bit of, you know, you're uncomfortable when you maybe lose rent money or whatever, or you're trying to take the next step. I think you gotta be comfortable with that, right? It's not gonna be easy, but it's an opportunity.
Yeah. And it's an adventure, right? I mean, I think that the, you know, vocabulary is a powerful thing, right? It really is. So, I have a founder a few years ago, and, and she's an amazing clinician, but she kept, when we were having these conversations, she kept using the word overwhelm all the time. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed. I'm like, look, let's just play an exercise, right? For the next week, let's not use that word, right? Let's use adventure. Let's use something else that you choose, right? Because it's a weird thing when you stop replaying that same word in your head, which has negative connotation, it changes things, right? It changes your perspective. It puts you into more of a growth mindset, because it is an adventure, right? Yep. You're helping people and doing all these amazing things, but at the same time, you're running a business, right? So you have to figure out, so it's learning on the fly.
Yeah, and it's something I've noticed as well, and it's concerning. A lot of chiropractors keep on thinking about burnout and overwhelm, and they talk about it so much, and it's almost like it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy versus the ones that don't do that and just think of it as, you know, hard work worth doing, and I have to do it. And, you know, maybe I'm 30 years old and I'm in a stage of life where, yeah, you got to work really hard. But when you're 45 or 50 or 55, like things will look a little bit different, but you're going to reap that reward. But yeah, I think too many people are latching on to that, and they have to get clear on the vision and work towards that and realize that it's worth doing that hard work. Let's take a break from today's episode and announce our first sponsor. This is going to be Propel Marketing and Design. I've known Darcy Sullivan for years. We've worked hand in hand on my websites. I don't trust anybody else to do this search engine optimization. She does a great job. There's so much to it. A lot of the lingo and the words are beyond my comprehension, but it's just amazing work that she does. And if you're really going to get results with Google, you have to make sure your website is SEO optimized. And I really don't want you doing it yourself as a chiropractor. So you just have to have this type of stuff done. And if you're looking to get more organic online traffic that pulls in new patients, Propel Marketing and Design is currently offering chiropractors who listen to this podcast a free SEO website review. The free review will help you uncover methods that will improve your website and boost your search engine visibility. Head over to propelyourcompany.com/chiropractor and schedule your free SEO website review. You won't regret it. She gets great results. Your website needs this. Your search results need this. Head on over there to propelyourcompany.com/chiropractor to get your free SEO website review.
I kind of mentioned my potential capacity block that I've had over some time with the PT renting. What do you, you know, you talk a little bit about the difference between growth mode versus capacity mode. What does that exactly mean? Yeah. And what are your thoughts on as it pertains to practice?
Yeah. As a business, there are kind of two areas here that you kind of work back and forth. It's kind of like a teeter-totter, right? So if you're in growth mode and trying to find more patients and grow your practice and do those kind of things, there are certain things that your business has to adjust to, right? You have to understand marketing. You have to understand patient onboarding, successful onboarding, those kind of things when you're in growth mode, right? Mm-hmm. When your capacity, and I ask this question a lot of founders, is that like, where is your capacity now? Are you there, right? Yep. Because there's all these measurements and different things we can talk about. But something else that's important too is I think that everybody needs to have a dashboard, right? Mm-hmm. There needs to be a dashboard in place, because you don't know when you put systems in place, but no way to kind of check them to know what's working and what isn't. It's a very disheartening thing, especially when you're spending a lot of money on it. So you're constantly balancing this whole growth and capacity thing, right? Mm-hmm. You want to be in growth mode, understand how to get more patients and those kind of things. But then on the backside, once you do that, then the capacity shifts. So part of this is about anticipation and building a plan and a strategy on how to grow.
Yeah. So you some practices are in that situation where they don't have any blocks to growth. They just got to grow and they got to do the right things to do that. And then you run into some, it sounds like, that are, you know, they'll come to you with an excuse like, well, I can't really see more new patients. I don't have the time on my schedule, or, you know, I really can't find good talent, or I don't have the space. Are those some of the things you're thinking about as far as like when they're hitting that roadblock?
Yeah, all the time, right? I think that that's a common thing, and it is a roadblock. But the issue is, it goes back to the vision again, right? Yeah. And I don't think people slow down on mission statements and things for businesses, but not really slowing down on a North Star about where you're going, right? And for some clinicians, it's not about getting big, right? It's about impact. So, you know, going from a one-to-one model to a one-to-many model can be a better way to do it. Maybe you want to be an influencer in things, right? Especially with social media, because, you know, my belief is there are two things that are going to shift the landscape of healthcare dramatically, right? AI obviously is going to be a big one, but the other one is content marketing.
Yeah.
Right? We have to get good at that. And I don't mean it being serviceable, like you're just kind of posting things up because you know you have to post two or three things, but being intentional around it, right? And truly kind of helping people on that side.
Yeah, especially it seems like as people are using AI search more, and we're going to hop into the AI conversation here in a minute, but it seems like Gary Vee was at the Parker Vegas seminar talking about where AI search is obviously going to be a big thing, if it already is, but those who are doing consistent educational content on a lot of platforms, that's where AI is going to probably pull that information and find you as the local chiropractor. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah. And I think clinicians, they do what they know, right? So they understand the servicing piece. They understand the process, the plan of care, all that kind of good stuff. And they tend to want to kind of keep in that space. They have this area they want to live in. And part of my job too is to kind of push the status quo around the learning and going back to the growth mode piece, right? Yep. If we need to learn how to integrate AI, and the first stage of all of it's going to just be understanding and what the integration is going to be looking like, not taking over jobs, right? It's going to be more of the integration. If you can get things in your practice to move faster by integrating certain things, right?
Yeah, I'm excited about it because obviously AI is not going to take our hands away from us as a chiropractor in most of our futures. Maybe down the road, 20, 30, 40 years from now, maybe. I doubt it. But I think we can leverage it to do a lot of things.
Let's take a short break for one of our great sponsors, TrackStat. It is a new type of software plugin for your EHR that combines patient communication, marketing, automation, and statistics with patient and employee tracking. Built by chiropractors for chiropractors, it shows your team what to focus on each day. See patient visit habits, missing information, unpaid bills, insurance collection, visit average, and more. Great visibility of data so you can focus on filling your office with your best patients. When you can see what your staff and patients are doing or not doing and take action accordingly, your profits naturally grow. Take TrackStat for a test drive in your office with our free trial. Not a techie, no problem, we can help. To get started on your free trial, visit TrackStat.org and watch the demo. That is TrackStat.org.
I want to go back to one thing, and then we can jump to the AI. You mentioned dashboard. Yeah. What are some of the metrics that a chiropractor should track to know, you know, if their practice is growing efficiently?
Yeah. You know, it's going to sound, I love simple things, right? So, you know, tracking leads and more importantly, like where they're coming from, right? Mm-hmm. And I think an important question that is always, it's very important. It's probably the most important, right? When somebody's being onboarded or somebody is contacting your practice, where did you first find us? Where did you first find us? Not where did you find us? It's an important distinction because you don't know as a clinician, like where to put your money if you're trying to get more patients. Right? Is it a referral? Was it a referral? Did it come from another physician? If it is, it's best practice to kind of reach out to that physician and say, really, I appreciate that. Right? So there are best practices around it. So the dashboard part of things, leads is a big one, like where they're coming from and are they coming in consistent? Because, you know, there are two flywheels in a business. One is the lead acquisition, and then one is on the other side, which is talent acquisition. Those wheels don't have to be moving at the same pace, but they have to be moving. And traditionally, for a lot of clinicians, neither one of them are moving, or they're not paying attention to either one, right? They're just focusing on their plan of care and their service.
Yeah, and a lot of times, if they do get the flywheel going on the marketing and leads, but they don't have the team to really service it, that's when they hit that capacity, and they say, oh, I can't.
Yep.
And then they can't see a new patient for 2 weeks, and some of them wear that like a badge of honor. It's like, no, that's not ideal.
Not good. Yeah, no, it's not good. And dropping the ball once a patient contacts the practice, right? How long it's taken to follow up, all those kind of things. If your vision is you're this amazing clinician and you want to create, you know, impact and you're solving all, you know, root cause and problems and different things, but yet you can't follow up, right? Right away, it ruins your reputation as a clinician, even if you're really, really good.
No, it does. And I think that's something that we got to get really, really clear on and have that efficiency in it. And, you know, AI is going to be a big part of that. And you and I are both fans of Abundance 360 and Peter Diamandis. And,
yep.
And he mentions that human plus AI is where the sweet spot is. What are some of your thoughts on that combination of the human and the AI and how that pertains to a chiropractic practice?
Yeah. And let me go back just real quick to what we talked about, just the follow-up process. I think there was a great report that came out recently in the industry, is that the average time it takes a clinician to follow up with somebody that contacts the practice, do you know how long it is?
No, I'm scared to know.
It's 4 days.
Oh, God.
What is the expectation of the patient calling? What's the expectation of that they have with the
follow-up? Immediate.
within 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So there's this huge disconnect of how that actually works. So that leads into your other question, which is how can AI help solve those things?
Yeah.
Those are the kind of bottlenecks for a business that can really be helpful, because immediate interaction on with areas specific that maybe you don't enjoy doing, but you can't do anything without the business development piece, right? So you have to get really good. And if there's one, I'm big about this question, is that what's the one thing that could solve all problems with your practice? What's the one thing, if you do and get it really right, it solves all problems?
Patient experience.
It's actually that, well, the experience is the second part, but the first part is you have to get them to come in, right? Get the leads on the other side. And it sounds so simple, but it's very, very hard for a lot of clinicians. They can get leads, like they'll pay attention to it for a month or two, and then they go back, right, to work with patients. And then it's this back and forth thing to where their leads aren't consistent, right?
Yeah. And that's the thing is, I've mentioned it often, where we sometimes as doctors fail to realize how big of a deal it is for a patient to schedule an appointment and go see a doctor. There's a lot of uncertainty around it, fear there, you know, because they've been burned in the medical model maybe, it's not a pleasant experience in most situations. So what can we do for the whole entire experience to make it a pleasant experience? But obviously you got to get them in the door first. And I think that's a big thing that we need to emphasize. There's some things that you've seen work really well in that regard, is like actually getting them in the door efficiently.
Yeah. I mean, I think that going back to partnerships is a big one, right? Mm-hmm. Things that don't cost the practice a lot of revenue and money, but building relationships both on talent acquisition and building relationships there and surrounding yourself with good people. The same thing on the partnership side, right? There are people that can be great referral partners for you, and establishing a referral partner network is really important, and having touch time and scheduling that. I'm a big fan of time blocking, for example. Like, there should be time set aside for a clinician, especially if it's the first part of your day, if you're doing something like that. That your outreach and those kind of things are the first hour of every day, right? You spend an hour just doing outreach in your day. Then you can start your day in terms of, you know, Planet Cares and that kind of thing. But that would be the most important thing is doing it consistently. So partnerships, the other piece is email marketing can be effective too as well, depending on the application. But those are two of the places that you would probably start to be efficient, but you have to be consistent.
Yeah, it's almost like two parts. There's the part of like getting the lead and obviously them raising their hand and wanting to come in and calling and scheduling. And then the second part of that is them, okay, they schedule the appointment, them actually showing up to it is the second part of that. And so we've actually recently, I would say this year, we've tackled that second part of that, what I just mentioned. And we've done certain things like we shot a professionally done welcome video to where I can introduce the doctor, show the office, some of the nuances of getting to our practice, because we're in a weird, the building situation's a little odd. So we talk about that. We talk about, you know, filling out the online forms to save 15 minutes. And we really try to make it as efficient as possible. And then we use a two-way texting service to get that to them. We haven't been able to automate fully on that. But recently we've had a few patients really commend us on our communication, like to your point, because, we have a front desk, a human front desk. We have a virtual front desk that's offsite answering phones, also monitoring our online scheduler. We do have online scheduling so people can, and a person can even book their appointment through our EHR system, which is a button right on Google Business Profile. So we've been trying to do a lot of those things. I wouldn't necessarily call it, I mean, online scheduling is automated. It's not AI. I'm sure there's some AI components to it, but we've really tried to tackle that phase of it. Cause to your point, it's a big problem with a lot of practices.
Yeah, it is. And I think being intentional, going back to, we spoke about foundational. So vision, mission, unique value prop, figuring out like what is the one thing that your practice does better than everybody else. And so for example, I have a practice to where theirs is communication. They feel like, and we talked a lot about trust, right? Mm-hmm. How do you build trust in short windows of time? And generally it's speed and communication, right? How you're actually doing that. So if you're able to communicate clearly, simply, really quickly, you build trust right away. You get back to people, all those things. So when they come in, they're already primed to expect that, right? The best care. You're setting them up for a great experience from the very beginning.
Yeah, it makes sense. And we've tried to, put a lot of things in place to handle the communication. And even on like a hospitality front, right? Where like recently we have a system in place to contact patients if something happens. Like we had a patient that had to go to the ER because of an infection thing. So she missed her appointment and said, I got to cancel my appointment. I have to go to the ER. I got this infection. Had nothing to do with us. But the next day we made sure to call them just to see how they were doing, right? Not to force feed them getting back on the schedule. They will, but more of just like, how are you doing? You know, did everything work out okay? And people are appreciating that other level of communication. And I think what it, kind of going back to that human plus AI, if you can utilize AI or a lot of automations, it then frees up your human to do some of those nice hospitality things that maybe AI can't, or maybe it will at some point, but it frees up your human team to really provide a great experience.
Let's take a short break from today's episode to tell you about the best decision I've made in my clinic in the last 10 years, and that has been adding shockwave therapy to our clinic. The outcomes have been really impressive. Certain conditions we were struggling with in the past, we're now seeing results with the shockwave therapy for that. And second of all, the ROI has been really good. You know, when you make a big investment in something, you want to see a return. And we're seeing that return in clinical outcomes and in our investment. And that's been really nice to see. I chose Keenest Medical for four reasons. One is the technology is top notch. You have to have great technology. There's a lot out there that isn't quite up to snuff. The second thing is they have a really good clinical training. They have an exclusive partnership with Academy of Shockwave Excellence so that you can become clinically proficient in shockwave. You do need to get skilled at it. I think that's a big differentiator between practices that are getting great results and seeing the ROI is they have a great clinical aspect to that as well. So you want to get trained appropriately. Third is they have in-house service team for all of your technical support, which is key when you're investing in a machine like this. And then lastly, they have a very in-depth marketing and business support for you so that you can launch this into your practice effectively, that you can get that ROI on it, that you can get the clinical outcomes. And they also have really good financing options if you need that. So go to kinasmedical.com, KINASmedical.com, mention MCM podcast and receive a free shockwave in practice book with a purchase of a unit. So that's kinasmedical.com, KINASmedical.com. And mention MCM podcast.
What are some of your thoughts on kind of using AI in the practice or automation, some of the mistakes people are seeing, some of the ways you're seeing AI work beautifully in chiropractic practice? I'd love to go down that path a minute.
Sure. I think that the biggest mistakes I'm seeing is thinking that you're going to sign up for some kind of AI service and you're going to implement it and boom, you're done with it. Right? Like there's like this hands-off approach with things. Mm-hmm. That's not the right mindset to have in terms of what it looks like. And to set something up without having a plan, like it sounds like you and your team have worked on that experience of the patient, right? Mm-hmm. Slowing down, right? Taking a Sunday and slowing down and thinking about like, what's the best, patient experience from beginning to end? What does that look like? Mm-hmm. And then tagging time to each one of those things, those little touch points of the business, tagging times to them. Where are your bottlenecks? What's taking the most amount of time? You look at what's taking the most amount of time and you can start looking and adapting services into those things, right? Yep. If it takes 27 minutes to onboard and there's paperwork to do, for example, which is a big one, all the paperwork experience, all those kind of things, can that be done before they even come in, for example, right? Are there certain things that can be sent out to them automatically to where, boom, you have a conversation, the paperwork goes out, they fill it out really seamlessly, it's easy to do, they get it back to you, boom, they're ready for their session, right? Versus they're coming in, figuring out, no one likes to fill out paperwork, that kind of stuff. Did we fill out everything? Is everything done? Like there's a lot of ways to do it. But the biggest strategy I've seen is they put down the touch points of the perfect client experience or patient experience on that side, and then tag times to them and then figure out what services based on those times. Mm-hmm. That works really well.
That makes sense. And then are you seeing any practices leverage AI in their notes? I know that's like a particular EHR thing. It's not something that you or I or anybody can train a person to do it. The EHR would have to have the capability to do it. But are you starting to see practices leverage AI? Because I know note taking is like the bane of our existence, and it's one of the biggest bottlenecks there is. But are you seeing that being leveraged now?
So there is a platform that's HIPAA compliant, which is called Fathom, which is actually there's a free version of that. But there's also something called Plaud, to where you could have going into your session, and it will record your session for you, and then it'll record it to Fathom, and then now you have notes that are seamless. It just automatically uploads to the patient record, right? So those are things that can happen really fast. So as a clinician, as you're moving from room to room or doing different things on that side, whenever you want to record the conversation and you want it to be entered into notes, you hit record, and that's it.
So it helps. Yeah. It's
pretty, yeah.
I think that's going to be a big one for us. And, you know, part of how you and I found each other, because I would read on my Facebook group, we've got about 5,000 members in there. I kept on thinking about this, like, what would this, like, your friction-free patient experience be like? And obviously nothing's friction-free, but really, how do we reduce the friction points? And then you and I had kind of hopped on a call a couple weeks ago before this to talk about that. And we kind of realized, like, you got to have your own operations as friction-free as possible, which is why we're talking about that today. Mm-hmm. Then once you got that in place, that then frees you up to really have a phenomenal patient experience. And so I don't want to put the cart before the horse, right? It's like sometimes building a house on quicksand. And so if we can get this stuff down, like you and I are talking about, and obviously we can't solve the world's problems in a 45-minute episode, but I want our audience to start thinking about these little things, which Strategic Coach would call the backstage, right? Like the operation, like how do we get this really firing on all cylinders? And then once we get that going, then, and, you know, you can do some of it concurrently, obviously, then we can really optimize that patient experience. And you mentioned earlier the flywheel effect, and then obviously you and I talked about getting leads from wanting to see us to actually in the door. When we spoke a few weeks ago, you mentioned the bow tie funnel of the patient experience and what that is, why that matters. Can you explain that to us?
Yeah, absolutely. So the bow tie funnel, basically everybody knows a basic sales funnel, somebody coming in, how we're treating them, what that looks like all the way. And we picture it from a visual standpoint, kind of from the left to right. So the bow tie is from the left to right is basically the sales part, right? People are coming in, business development, that kind of good stuff. Then the center of the bow tie really is the point where they commit and they actually pay you at that point. Mm-hmm. Now, the other side of the funnel, I mean, less than 5% of practices pay attention to it, right? It's where you're building this brand ambassador, right? And there's steps to this, right? So your touch point, so your patient experience, most of the time when people map it out, they map it out from, okay, patient comes in and then patient leaves, so to speak. That's just the beginning. Where you should be focused is on the other side, right? Mm-hmm. So meaning that after they leave, what is their plan of care in 6 weeks, 8 weeks? What is the follow-up of that process? Are we sending them out other things to get testimonials? Are we doing other things? Are there services, other things we can be doing along the way to now service those patients the best way possible? So the other part of the bow tie funnel is really about having a mindset around what's next. Mm-hmm. What else can I do to be servicing and helping my patient? I've done X, Y, and Z. What are the other things that I can be doing on the other side? That's why always staying in growth mode is really important.
Yeah.
So adding different services and different things to your offer on the other side. Now you have a pool of X patients to pull from, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to pay for those leads anymore. Yeah. So the other side is, how do you get patients to actually refer back to you? Not only a few of them, but consistently.
Yeah. That's the art of that. Yeah, and I think it's pretty cool. And obviously, you know, you want to develop those raving fan base, and that's how you can really grow a practice without having to spend so much money on marketing. Like, it's definitely wise to spend money on marketing. We all know that, especially depending on if you're in growth phase and such. But if you get that flywheel going over referrals because you have a great patient experience, and, you know, obviously the clinical is the big one. You got to get people better, and you got to provide, that's the core service. You got to hit a homer on there. But if you do that and you have a great patient experience that we talked about, and everything, communication is really on point, you're going to go, you know, leaps and bounds among some, compared to a lot of other chiropractors, but there's kind of a third thing to this as well, and that's staying top of mind, right? It's Dan Kennedy, who I'm sure you know, has the saying of, and I've used it, I've stole this saying many times, but put a fence around your cattle and really try to put content around them so they see your stuff all the time. How are you seeing going back to the AI and kind of doing a 360 here and going and pairing up the AI to the patient experience and to the marketing? How are you seeing AI helping chiropractors on this part of what you're talking about on the bow tie funnel?
Yeah, and there's something about providing wow moments or leaving room for magic. Right. Mm-hmm. There needs to be a wow on the bow tie side. There needs to be something that you're doing, and you can even automate it, that patients are going, wow, I didn't expect that. Mm-hmm. And there needs to be something of value on that other side. Right. So, and that can come in different types of forms of things, right? A new offer on something or a new product. But this also goes back to the vision of, you know, what is your vision? And then what new services are you offering? If you know you're doing, we had talked before about, doing cold plunges and different things on the other side. If patients are tuned into that, and especially like longevity, I'm seeing a lot of questions in the practices around the longevity piece too. What else? This is helping now and I've had a great experience, but what are the other things that I can be doing on the other side? And becoming an expert in that area, to where you're providing all this valuable content that now you can put on your social media and you can send out to your patients. If you have other services, now they're prime for that, and it's consistent. So you have to find at least one wow on the backside. You have to find something that's going to provide a little magic.
Well, and it's fascinating too, because it's if you're doing this right, you're going to be able to leverage AI to get your marketing out there more. Now, it's not about necessarily just using canned content, like saying, you know, asking ChatGPT to write you a random blog. But maybe you take a video you've done and you upload it into there, and you get a blog out of it, and you get more content, or have it write a compelling email, and you know, things like that. And so you're going to use AI to get good, high quality content out there, and then you're hoping that people are going to use AI searching for a chiropractor area, and they're going to find your human plus AI content, and there's going to be a nice little match there, and then they're going to come into your practice, and you're going to wow them on a great patient experience, right?
Yeah. And you have to look for things. Every practice is unique in a sense of what patients are asking for, right? If you're in there and you're talking to a lot of patients and they're asking about supplements constantly, and they're asking about certain types of supplements, there's probably five of them that you get all the time. Yep. Making videos around that, sending them out, putting them on social media at the same time, all that stuff is extremely valuable. And you're building this library, right? You're building this library of content.
And, you know, another thing that just popped up, and I actually posted in my Facebook group to get some feedback on it. We had a pitcher that had a teenage pitcher, 15 years old, had Little Eager's elbow. And so we were treating him. He had a strength coach he was doing things with. And then we were graduating him to a throwing program. And so I went into I use paid Grok 3, and I used the deep research function on it, and had him develop a throwing program for Little League's elbow for a 15-year-old. And it developed a really nice one. It linked to a Mass General throwing program and had this whole thing. I printed it out, printed out the throwing program, printed out what Grok did. I didn't fake it like it was my information. I talked to the patient like, hey, look, we used paid AI with the deep research function here, and it actually spits out the resources that it cites it from. And the patient thought that was really, really good, you know, and as an example of human plus AI. And it saved so much of my time to do that. It took me like 10 minutes. And that's just another example where I think we can use AI for a better patient experience. I think you need to be honest sometimes with it. You don't want to just like, yeah, I made up this throwing program. But they saw Mass General, they think, oh, this must be legit, right?
Yeah. And that's a great example of providing a little magic, right? Mm-hmm. The parents of that child will never forget that, as well, he won't either. But I mean, that's something, that's the little magic. That's the extra step. And sometimes on the other side, going back to the buy back your time, you know, process too, there's a great exercise to where they do a time audit. And you looking at your whole week of where you're having kind of $5 tasks and where you're at $500 tasks. Mm-hmm. Most clinicians are spending way too much time on $5 and $10 tasks in their practice and just get overwhelmed. So that's where, like, doing research around that and somebody doing research for you around, here's what I'm looking at, they could do the research for you on that side, and then you could follow up with the patient, right, to streamline some of that.
Yeah, I just think we can start, look at all the ways you could delegate to AI, you know, whatever service you decide to use, Gemini and ChatGPT, obviously. So yeah, really cool stuff. Well, Jason, this has been amazing. I know you've got a nice little assessment that they can take in 10 minutes. How can they find out about that and reach out to you if they want to work with you on really helping to grow their practice?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I'm happy to do it. It's a health and value assessment of your practice. Kind of gives you some scores on all the phases of your business, whether it's the marketing, finances, all that kind of good stuff. It takes about 10, 15 minutes. And it actually does some valuation and enterprise value of your practice on the backside, which is extremely valuable. So yeah, what I can do is we can leave the link on the show notes. You know, everybody can reach out to me at either my LinkedIn page or ai@jasoninfinger.com. But that's probably the best way. I'm happy to kind of go through, answer any questions and do some road mapping if that helps too with them. Happy to help your audience.
We'll put all that in the show notes. And to your point, I know you kind of specialize also with, you know, getting a practice that could be sold. And I think not enough chiropractors are looking at that. And they're not looking at it enough in advance. And the beauty of it is if you're not planning on selling for 25 years, but you actually get it sellable now, it'll be a whole lot more profitable. And then down the road, it'll be more sellable. So I think that's a good point. Yeah, chiropractors really got to take that seriously. And I did some years ago, and it helps kind of to your point too about getting clear on your vision, right? Like if you actually do that and you get a vision around it, it gives you a little roadmap to get there.
It does for sure. And there's another, not that I want to give everybody more work to do, but there's a good book called Built to Sell, which helps with that very thing. It's not something to where, even if you're not going to sell it, but getting to a place where you can make the decisions there's a great exercise too, which is kind of a work with my founders is, you know, the 6 months. So in 6 months, you have to take a vacation for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
What does that look like? What is your practice? Do things keep running without you? Does it still onboarding patients, all that kind of good stuff? And if it doesn't do that, what does it take to get there? Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
It's a good frame.
Love it. Yeah, it's a great way of doing it. I'm actually doing that similar because we're next summer. So summer of 2026, we're going to start our first 6 week immersion trip. Each summer we'll do it as a family. And so I'm having to do what you just said for two businesses. So it's tricky.
It's great. It's a great exercise.
Yeah. Hopefully we do well with it. And on the back end of it, we see where we need to improve.
Yep.
Well, Jason, this has been a true pleasure. Hopefully not the last time we talk, and I'll make sure we put all those resources in there. And thank you for all of your valuable wisdom today.
You got it. Thanks, Doc. I appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. And if you want to make the shift from busy, broke, and broken to time-free and cash-confident, or you just want to continue with the exponential growth, check us out at modernchiropracticmarketing.com. Look at the MCM Mastery tab, watch the short video on there, and check out what we are doing now for evidence-informed chiropractors. We are equal parts coaching and marketing done for you. Yes, you shoot some videos, we help you with campaign strategies and ideas and really become a thought leader in your community. You shoot those videos, you send them to us, we produce, edit, and brand them to you. Then we distribute them through all of your channels. We also take them and we turn it into one good blog per month. And every other month, we have Darcy Sullivan producing a robust blog with a topic that you pick from her database to help with your SEO. So we essentially become your content marketing agency to make sure your practice is always having ethical, elegant content marketing to help grow your practice. On the coaching side, we also help you with everything from marketing ideas to business, communications, finances, anything practice growth, and really try to help prevent you from being stuck on that island. And we hold you accountable. We have a great group of doctors that are just doing amazing things. And we look forward to help you out to take that next step in your practice. So again, check us out at modernchiropracticmarketing.com and learn more.